Great comebacks rarely begin with more complexity. They often begin with more clarity, focus, and disciplined leadership. Profit grows from minus 222 million to more than 1.2 billion euros. An incredible turnaround. Hello and welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast, your leadership podcast for leading with impact. Thank you for the growing number of messages and comments we keep on receiving. Such as this one from Daniela. Quote, "Hello, Stefan. Your podcast episodes are easy to understand and highly practical. I have already taken a lot away from them." Unquote. Feedback like this means a great deal to us. We want to keep things simple and practical because leadership is only a little bit of science, but also a lot of craftsmanship. And if you also have feedback, questions, comments, or suggestions for us, for my team, and for myself, then please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. You will figure it out via the show notes here, via our website. You name them, you will find us on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on YouTube. Follow us, interact with us, and let us know what you think, what you feel, what you need regarding leadership. We always enjoy hearing from you. Today's episode focuses on one of the most impressive business turnarounds in the history of economics. At least I have witnessed in my last 35, 40 years of active awareness of impressive business cases and impressive leadership turnaround cases. It is the history of a brand that many of us grew up with, a brand associated with play, creativity, and building your own world. What many people don't know is that the Lego brand once faced a severe crisis. It was not clear whether the company would even survive. Yet it did survive, and in a remarkable fashion. I learned a great deal from the way Lego handled this existential crisis. Lessons about strategy, lessons about teams, and lessons about a consistent leadership culture. The three columns that I'm convinced are at the heart of building strong, sustainable companies. And these lessons that I've drawn from the case, I would like to share with you in today's Lightwolf podcast episode. Because this Lego case does three things to me. It challenges some common leadership misconceptions. It offers incredibly valuable lessons, particularly on strategy, on decision making. And it's surprisingly easy and accessible to understand. Let's start at the beginning. The Lego story. Founded in 1932, with the Lego brand officially introduced in 1934. The company enjoyed decades of growth throughout the end of the 1980s, with just a few normal setbacks, as success always is. But the trend line from all the way from the 40s through the end of the 80s was a strong growth in trajectory. Brilliant case. Then things changed. By 1998, some retailers, such as Toys R Us, were suddenly also becoming competitors for the brand. Lego experienced three consecutive years of declining revenue and increasing costs. Profit dropped from 110 million euros to zero. The brand remained strong yet, but the business model was getting under increasing pressure. The question at that time, 1998, was, how can we turn around, how can we return to profitable growth? In response to that question, in 98, Lego launched numerous new products and new ventures. Lego theme parks, Lego watches, Lego children's clothing. Initially, in year one, those initiatives appeared and seemed successful. Revenue grew 25% in the first year. Apparently, there were some trial purchases. But already a year later, in 2000, sales fell by 29%. And by 2003, Lego reported its first major loss in the company's history. Approximately 200 million euros of loss in 900 million euros of revenue. The company was close to collapse. Costs had exploded. Complexity was out of control. And Lego had lost focus on what its customers truly valued about the brand. The question was no longer how to start making money. The question was how to save the company. And how, once saved, how to return the company to profitable growth. A massive challenge. And a challenge that led the, at the time, I think, seventh family generation CEO to step down, just be honest and say, look, guys, I'm not sure I can handle this. And they invited a relatively young, at the time, 39-year-old Danish management consultant from a top-tier management consultancy to take the helmet and become the CEO of Lego. He's Danish. He had consulted the brand and the company already, so he had a lot of knowledge. And as a Danish, definitely also heart, blood, and passion into this originally Danish, now global brand. Let's talk about the solution. The core of the solution contains a lot of leadership lessons. Reduce complexity by 50%, 50. They took down the assortment from 7,200 articles, SKUs, to 3,600. Cut the number of products in half. Many people get nervous when you do this because the immediate connotation is, oh gosh, if I cut articles, I will lose sales, I will lose revenue, right? Maybe you don't. And that's what they did. Cut the assortment by 50%. They returned to the core brand promise. With Lego, you create your own world. They expanded into new customer segments. Lego for girls and Lego for adults, so-called AFOLs, adult fans of Lego. And they created more attractive products for the core consumer segment, boys. They did a few more things, but that to me was the core. Yeah, they also raised the pricing ceiling. Beforehand, it was inconceivable to have a Lego toy more expensive than 99 euros. After the strategy changed, they gradually moved pricing up not only to above 100, but even to above 1,000 euros for one big Lego toy. 10 years later, we are now in 2013. And the results are absolutely extraordinary. In just 10 years, revenue increased from 900 million to 4.4 billion euros, a five-fold increase. At the same time, profit grows from minus 222 million to more than 1.2 billion euros. Yeah? An incredible turnaround. Chapeau to anyone who contributed to the turnaround at the time. Now let's talk about leadership lessons to draw from this. What can we leaders learn from this case? Three lessons for you and for me. Lesson number one, focus. More initiatives do not necessarily mean more success. Many leaders respond to challenges by wanting more sales, more initiatives, more projects, more activities. And that is exactly what Lego did when the decline started in 98. New theme parks, new products, clothing for children, watches, new business models, growth ideas everywhere, but limited focus and no coherent red thread through the brand equity and the initiatives. The result? complexity grew much faster than value. The leadership lesson I think we should think about is not everything that's possible is right and worth doing. Action tip for you and for me. Every single quarter, let's ask ourselves at least once, which 20% of last quarter's initiative and activities have generated 80% of the value we created for customers and for our company? And then let's look at those 80% of the activities that only contributed 20% of the value created. That's what we should look at. And then let's be honest, let's be consistent, and let's ask of these 80% of initiatives that only contributed 20% of the value, which ones should we stop doing and free up the capacity to invest into more value-adding activities? So lesson number one I draw from the case, focus. More initiatives do not necessarily mean more success. Lesson number two, challenge false trade-offs. Yes, you can reduce cost and grow revenue at the same time. Yeah? Challenge false trade-offs. In difficult times, companies sometimes lose confidence in their strength. Leaders then fall into either or thinking. We can either reduce cost or increase sales. Bullshit. It may not be easy to do both at the same time. I acknowledge that. I agree with that. It's not easy. But it's possible, right? It is possible. The Lego case proved it. By cutting its product portfolio by 50%, they cut it in half. The company dramatically reduced complexity and cost. In the days and years before, retailers had gotten mad with Lego because the stocks of so many products that didn't sell off fast enough or that didn't sell off at all, those stocks piled up in the retailers' warehouses. And they got pretty unhappy about it. And they let the brand know. So it was helpful to cut those slow-turning articles, to get them out of the system, to get back to a healthy frequency and a healthy turn in the logistics chain. So in that way, cutting the assortment, cutting the product portfolio, freed up and unclogged the pipe and helped to increase sales rather than reducing sales. So they reduced complexity, they reduced cost, and at the same time, revenue increased almost fivefold over the following decade. So the leadership lesson for us, the strongest leaders challenge false trade-offs. It's not always an either or. Sometimes it can be both. And that leads to my action tip for you. Whenever you hear, "Dear boss, I can give you either or," then ask yourself, ask your team member, is there a way to achieve both objectives simultaneously? Yeah. And that always makes me think of a real case, a real experience I made more than 10 years ago in year one of our consultancy way back then. Six of us, yeah, so five colleagues of mine, all 20 plus years leadership experience. Very short notice, unfortunately. We had little time to prepare. We did not invest the time to do interviews with middle management or junior management. We were invited to create, develop, and then deliver a one-day leadership event with about 200 participants. I got nervous when one day in advance, I got a call from the client saying, "Hey, Mr. Hohmeister, I just want to inform you that our top management is considering not to participate in the conference tomorrow. They plan just to come and say a greeting and then leave the conference to a neighboring cafe and just have a cup of coffee and wait until the work is done," unquote. Do you know how how I felt in that moment. I wasn't sure what to answer. I think I only really understood the full meaning of it at the end of the event itself. Management did show up, but management was not ready to participate in the workshops. Six of us, we led the workshops. I led one of them. And I'll never forget when a few minutes into my workshop about how to implement the learnings, a gentleman raised his hands and said, "Herr Hohmeister, I don't really believe in all of the things you say. It's just a little bit strange, you know? You can't reduce cost and increase sales at the same time. This is just impossible," unquote. And I just collected myself. I stayed cool, calm, collected. And I asked a question. And I raised the Lego case and said, "Sir, with all due respect, I acknowledge it may not be easy. But are you aware of the Lego case where the brand managed to cut cost in half and increase sales fivefold in 10 years? Maybe we talk about it in the next break." I will never forget this paradigm thinking. So don't ever allow false trade-offs. When you in your daily leadership tasks face those false trade-offs, then politely but consistently challenge those false trade-offs. Yes, it's not easy, but it is possible to reduce cost and increase sales at the same time. Lesson number three, great leaders do not need to have all the answers. The new CEO, the young Danishman Jørgen Vik Knudstorp, who at the age of 39 in 2003 took the helmet, did something remarkable. He listened. He spoke with customers. He spoke with retailers. He spoke with employees. And he asked insightful questions and then led with his ears rather than with his mouth. And he based decisions on facts, so on those many views that he internalized and reflected and integrated, on facts rather than hope and assumptions. To me, this contains one of the strongest leadership lessons I've ever come across. If you ask me to summarize leadership in just two words, then one way to do it is to combine two seemingly contradictory skills. The best leaders to me have high willpower and equally high, if not even higher, personal humility. They have courage and humbleness. And these two things were demonstrated on a very high level by the CEO and his management team that turned around this wonderful company. Action tip for you. Every month, have at least three conversations with people who are closer to the operational reality and closer to the customer than you are. No matter whether you're a first-time leader, a middle manager, or a C-suite member, maybe you're even the CEO running a company. The higher up you get in your organization, the bigger you risk the risk that you lose sight and touch and feeling for operational reality and for the customer's real needs. That is not good. You're not responsible to do the operational work. You're there to work on the system rather than in the system, acknowledged. But you will be much better at working on the system if you still have a feel for operational reality and for customers' real needs. So three times a month, talk to people and listen to people who are closer to operations and closer to customers than you yourself. By the way, if you want to create an environment, if you'd like to create a leadership culture around you, where everyone learns fast from success and failure, where everyone grows and gets stronger, especially in crisis times, then look into the show notes, book a free call with me, and I look forward to meeting you, listening to your challenge, and maybe with just a few minutes, maybe I can give you a tip or an advice that helps you accelerate your own journey to the culture you want. Would be my pleasure. So go into the show notes, book your call. And in closing, my challenge for you. Lego did not become so successful again because it did more and more. Lego became successful again because it regained clarity about what it stands for, what it does better than anyone else, and what it must focus on. Perhaps that leads to the most important question leaders should ask themselves. What do we not need to add, but simply need to do more consistently again? Because great comebacks rarely begin with more complexity. They often begin with more clarity, focus, and disciplined leadership. I wish you every success in putting your insights from this podcast into your practice and into your own growth. Thank you for being here today, and I look forward to having you again as a guest on the show, maybe already next week. Thank you and take care. Your Stefan.